Before we dive in, two things. First, thank you. Listeners like you are why we do this. Our team works hard on every episode to ensure we bring you the best content possible. Second, it's a gift-giving time of year. People ask us all the time, what's your setup or what's your favorite gear? We put all of our favorites together in our new Generation Leader gift guide. Find recommendations for those hard to buy for people on your list and get them something great this year. Find the gift guide at newgenerationleader.fm/gift and we'll keep this up to date all year round. All right, let's get on with the show.
New Generation Leader.
In today's episode on our Athletics Leadership channel, Brian and I talked to Ryan Schachner. Ryan was a collegiate baseball player who had dreams and a path to play professionally until a career-ending injury sidelined him. With his dream over, Ryan had to pivot and figure out what the rest of his life would look like. He set out on his own, started a financial planning firm, and became known among professional athletes as someone who could fix their financial problems. His clients urged him to take that talent and translate it to college student athletes. Ryan now works with high school athletes, college athletes, pro athletes, and in this NIL era, he's focused on enabling them to build a brand, to use the expertise on the field, on the court, and translate that into career success. We sit down with Ryan for an exciting conversation that covers so much ground. And again, just like our last episode with Coach O'Regan, no matter what industry you work in, whether you're in athletics, or medicine, healthcare, construction, it doesn't matter. There are going to be insights here for you on building a brand, on telling your story, and on leading well. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the New Generation Leader Podcast. We're giving you the tools you need to lead in the digital world. Ready to reach your true potential? This is the New Generation Leader Podcast.
So, Ryan, your career has been built around change. You've personally had changes. Now, in your work with athletic departments, athletic leaders, coaches, players, you're helping them navigate change. How has your personal perspective on change helped prepare you for what you're facing and leading people through today?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And so I think, you know, it's the adapt and overcome mentality that I bring to, you know, everything that I do. And so to rewind a little bit, you know, I was in full financial advisor mode in 2008, 2009, when that crash, you know, the market crash and the housing and, you know, Great Recession and all the labels that they threw on it. And I remember talking to a gentleman that was probably 20 years ahead of me in the career and extremely successful. And I just said, you continue to build through these times. How do you do it? What's your mindset? And he just made the comment, I choose not to participate. And so that kind of opened my eyes to, well, I can go with it and be affected by all of this type of stuff, or I can figure out what I need to do and double down on it and move forward from there. And so I just kind of took that approach whenever something disruptive happened, and whenever change happened, is I can either choose to participate in it or I can choose not to participate in it. And to me, that really means, you know, have a glass half full sort of mindset. You know, let's make the best of the situation and let's adapt to what is happening. And then let's figure out how we can move forward in a positive direction, regardless.
That's a powerful thought that we've been looking at in terms of leadership and the landscape. And when you think about innovation, even going back to the printing press, the steam engine, all of these advances, and now we're facing, even still, as prevalent as technology is, you can participate, or people are avoiding, and even to the extreme, rebelling against it. And Steve Cockrum, who Brian and I work with, talks about in the printing press, people burned books, all out rebelled against these systems. So now you're working with athletic leaders who are facing a similar dynamic of change. What does the average week look like for you in terms of what you're bringing and the conversations you're having with them and how you're doing the work you're doing now.
Yeah, I mean, it's chaos. It's a little something new every day, but it's along the same lines of helping the athletic departments that we work with, the coaches that we work with, the players that we work with, really navigate the changes that they're feeling and going through, right? So we have name, image, and likeness. We have transfer portal. We have graduating and now being out of competitive athletics. And how do I then navigate that change into life after sports? And it's chaos. I mean, everything you hear in the media is true, right? It's chaos, the Wild West, whatever you want to call it. But at the end of the day, it's, you know, if you calm down and you really look at what's important to, you know, you as an athletic department or you as a coach or as a player, it's pretty easy to navigate those waters. They just have extra jobs thrown on them, right? So it's helping them figure out what that new job, what that new role is, and then helping provide resources that make their lives easier.
I heard that loud and clear from both Coach O'Regan, who was on episode 43, and Coach Taylor, who will be on episode 45 here, loud and clear that they are facing not only the X's and O's, which is what we all think about in terms of coaches and athletics, but they are developing a new generation of leaders. They're developing students in not only their physical disciplines, but every part of who they are, and facing them head on with the challenges they're facing, everything that's thrown at them from the outside world and what's going on inside. And what's so fascinating to me, you know, I said to Coach O'Regan yesterday when we recorded that it's so evident. People love to hear examples from sports and apply them in any context of life, unless you just don't like sports at all. But those kinds of examples are so prevalent. But as he described, not only his team, the women's basketball program, the players, but the coaches and the overall athletic department and the university as a whole and the community, I saw so clearly the parallels that any leader is facing in building a culture, multiplying that into the people they're leading, and doing that in a way that is building, elevating, providing resources, helping people be successful. And that's such a great motivator when we are facing these changes, to see what's coming down the pipeline, to react and respond, and to use your word, how am I going to participate in building that next new thing? So we've talked about, you're a forward thinker, a visionary, you're seeing things. How do you build that bridge to the people who are more resistant and aren't quite seeing how to connect the dots, or maybe don't think it's relevant to them or today?
Yeah, I think it's making the correlation to what they're experiencing and how the solutions that we build out with athlete development can help them in their immediate experiences, what they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And so, you know, like a lot of the athletic departments outside of the huge Power Five schools that have seemingly endless amounts of money, I think they have like a printing press in the athletic department, like in a locker room somewhere where they just keep churning out money, right? They were able to, when name, image, and likeness and all this happened, they had the staff and the money to be able to adapt to where they saw it going, right? So that's happening. You have the mid-majors or the smaller D1s, the group of five on down to D2, D3, who are overworked, don't have the financial resources, don't have the manpower to kind of figure out what this is. But at the same time, they need to figure out what this is because they're affected by it. And then you have the athletes who are out there who aren't getting very good guidance on what they can do, what they can't do, because it's so new and everyone's trying to figure this out, right? So you have a lot of chaos. And so we heard in those early days, just in talking to athletes and a lot of the pro athletes that we know and that we work with, is that the things that were really important to them were the development aspects that they maybe didn't hold out as important when they were at the college level, right? Because they were so focused on playing in whatever sport they played that that's all they focused on. And whether you have a pro option in your sport at the college level or not, that doesn't really change from athlete to athlete, gender to gender, sport to sport, division to division, because you're an athlete, right? You're focused on participating, getting better and winning and accomplishing your team goals. And so we recognize that there were, whether it was from the athletic department or the school or the athlete piece of it, they weren't participating, or they maybe weren't offering the development opportunities that once these athletes realized they needed them, it was too late. They were out of school or they were at the next level, right? And so we're talking to a lot of these pro athletes and we're recognizing a couple key themes is they're all focusing on this chapter that's next, whereas they didn't know that this there was going to be a next chapter, right? They bled, they sweat, they sacrifice for this pro option. And then they get there and they're like, oh, shoot, there's something after this. And maybe I need to start figuring out what I'm going to do. And then when they do, like you kind of mentioned, sports is a business, but the phases that a business goes through and building an athletic team are the exact same things. It's just the industry is different, right? One industry is playing a game, but you're building culture. You have all these things. Well, once these pro athletes realized that, they were able to adapt the skills that they learned and refined as athletes to their business success. And they were having massive business success. And it just wasn't, you know, a lot of times it's they're more humble with that and they don't talk about that as much, which I wish, you know, I wish they would fix that, right? But it was the same things, right? And so then we just said, hey, let's provide these resources, but let's do it in a way that embraces the name, image, and likeness, the NIL era that's going on. And let's allow them, let's work with these athletes to where by doing something that they want to do, and that's participate in NIL, they're helping themselves set up for something that they need to be doing, but maybe don't recognize it. And so by doing one, they're doing the other.
College athletics is in the midst of colossal changes. From NIL to the transfer portal and conference realignment, athletics programs are facing mounting pressure. How are these pressure points affecting your leadership? The waves of change require a different approach to building programs, leading teams and departments, developing players, directing coaches, and in how you think about athletics. It's becoming too easy to leave and too hard to create trust. This requires you to think better, communicate better, lead better, perform better, be better, every single day. Better can help. Better has built the very best of 21st century leadership thinking and tied world-class content to simple technology to help ADs, administrators, coaches, and athletes thrive in the midst of the chaos the athletic world is facing. As a listener of the show, Better is offering a unique opportunity for your college program or high school team. Better starts with you. Learn more at newgenerationleader.fm/better.
That's a really good transformation and change. And I go back as you describe all of these athletes. In my mind, I'm thinking about names of specific people I went to college with who played sports. Some of them went professional in their sport at various levels, some even to the NFL. And now watching their overall career and then their teammates who went professional in a different career, there's one guy who I cannot get my mind wrapped around him leading the police academy in our county, you know, because for me, I still see him as wide receiver on the team. But it's an incredible transformation and journey to take those skills. And now, you know, for him, he's developing a new crop of police recruits every year and instilling that kind of discipline. So before I kick it over to Brian, you've mentioned it. Coach O'Regan mentioned it. But we have a lot of listeners who probably are not as well versed in the lingo. Can you give us the Cliff Notes version of what is name, image, and likeness? What does it mean? And why is it different from the way things have always been?
Yeah, basically, it's allowing college athletes to make money and make money on their name, their image, or their likeness. And so I think we see a lot of it manifesting now in collectives, which are just groups of usually boosters that form NIL deals for athletes for mostly the revenue sports, football, basketball, that sort of thing. And so that gets a lot of the attention, but you get athletes that are creating entrepreneurship opportunities, creating internships, whereas before they were not able to do any of that stuff because it would have been viewed as a rules violation by the NCAA. And then they might have to sit out, lose scholarships, all that type of stuff. So basically they're able to do everything now that student athlete or non-student athletes have been able to do since the dawn of universities. And now they're able to also participate in it. Only caveat being is they have another platform in which they can leverage, that being the athletic platform and their sport and all that sort of stuff.
So many questions. I mean, this topic is so deep and so broad. I feel like we could take the whole day going back to some things. But one of the things I want to go back to is just one statement you made earlier, Ryan. And it was off the cuff, but I'm going to go back to it because I have a real question about it. You said along the lines of everything you hear in the media is always true, right? I know, you know, you didn't mean that exactly, but I thought it was a poignant point because I've heard you on some of your own podcasts address this situation of what student athletes hear other athletes are getting in NIL deals through the media, through all sorts of media. Can you talk about that? Like, how do you work with athletes to set realistic expectations on what's out there for them?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult because the numbers aren't public. And so whether it's, you know, however these athletes are getting deals, right? It's only the really big ones that make the news. Mm-hmm. So it's the, you know, the Livy Dunns or the, you know, Bryce Young that, you know, they're getting deals. Because, well, Livy earned it, right? I mean, she created her following, magnificent what she's done. Bryce Young, you know, it's largely, even though, you know, number one draft pick, largely because he played football in the highest profile position at one of the highest profile schools, right? And so you see that, and that forms a narrative that a lot of these athletes just assume that I either have to be an influencer or I have to be a key position in a key sport at a key university. And that gets the attention because it's really the most controversial aspect of it, right? I mean, it fits into the narrative of the anti-name, image, and likeness people of they're just paying athletes and you have to be an influencer and all that sort of thing. But then you have athletes like a Chase Griffin out at UCLA, who's a third string quarterback, who started small with really small deals. And he was going out and he was pounding the pavement and getting them. And now he's grown that into getting equity in companies because of what he started doing, proving to the other companies out there that, hey, this works and what I'm doing works, right? Or a Barney Amor, who's the punter, former punter at Penn State, who, you know, was getting NIL deals and nobody's giving money to a punter, right? I mean, he's not the quarterback, right? It's not if you know his name, something's wrong, right? And so this media narrative is, you know, part of it's true. That is an aspect of name, image, and likeness, but there's also a huge part of name, image, and likeness that's going on. That is that grassroots entrepreneurial aspect, the spirit of really what name, image, and likeness was that entrepreneurial aspect. And it just doesn't get it's not the sexiest story to talk about a lot of times. And so it doesn't get the hype that some of the others have. But what we do is we just try and change the narrative, right? We give them examples of athletes that are out there doing it. And then we give them a path and show them evidence that it doesn't matter division, sport, gender, any of that type of stuff. your opportunity may look different. It may start different, but it's really up to you and taking the initiative on where you take it.
So one of the things, and we heard this from Coach O'Regan from JMU the other day when we talked to him, is about the impact that all of this, going back to transfer portal as well, the extra COVID year, NIL now, all of these things and what the impact has been on coaches' ability to lead teams as effectively as they did before. So as you've gone about and you've had conversations with coaches or with administrative staff, have you had conversations with them about the increased level of noise that they now have to deal with all of the other things that athletes are starting to hear? Like all the outside voices that are going, hey, come here, I've got this deal for you. You don't need to deal with that. Anything like that. Share anything you've heard about that and maybe coaches that you've interacted with, how that's impacting their ability to coach the way they wanted to or develop programs versus having to, you know, put out fires constantly.
Yeah. So really two thoughts on that. I would say first, yes, absolutely. I was talking to Mason Rudolph, who's plays quarterback for the Steelers yesterday. And he was talking about catching up with his former coach, Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State, and their job. I mean, it's a massive job, right? So if we take the one aspect of their job, which is recruiting, prior to NIL and transfer portal, it was, I'm recruiting high school athletes and that's, I have to develop them when they come in, but it was kind of segmented to that. Now recruiting is, yes, high school athletes, but now you have the retention aspect of, I have athletes here and I've got to make sure that I keep the ones that I want and that are playing and all that sort of thing. And by the way, I need to pay attention to the transfer portal and look for athletes that are out there that maybe need a bigger platform or an opportunity here at Oklahoma State. And so it's recruiting, which was, call it one dimensional, is now three dimensional. But I don't think that's any different than any other business, right? Going back to every other business, you have to worry about recruiting and retaining employees. And now that element is more prevalent in sports. And now the resources around that, you know, it's going to have to be a taught skill and developed to how it looks inside a certain school, inside a certain system, and with a certain coach. But it's like any other business, right? It's the businesses that seem to succeed and excel. They figure out, they have a team and they figure out, all right, my team is going to, my role, I'm best focused on this. And I'm going to hire the best people to manage these other things. And how I hold them accountable is ultimately going to determine success of the organization. And so it's the same thing when you filter down to athletics. They're in a new world. And now there's different aspects that they need to plan for. But if they get the right people in the right positions and then manage them and hold them accountable to whatever their standard is and whatever the culture that they want is, they too can see success.
Yeah. I can't imagine. I remember back 30 years ago just being a student who was interested in the athletic programs where I went to school. And knowing then, even at this lower level, at that time, Division I AA school, not even FCS at that point, as far as classification went, and just the coaches, the head coaches then being so aware of anyone who walked within eyesight of a practice or anything else, fighting to know who their athletes were hanging out with and what voice. I can't imagine what that is like now. That's had to have been a major adjustment with all these other things that are out there now. But as you go about when you talk to programs, it really at any level, all the way down to high school, and you're advising athletes on branding issues or branding opportunities, what types of conversations come up or what type of guidance do you give them on about protecting their brand in terms of how what they do outside now, where they're seen, who they're seen with, what they post? I mean, but how about, you know, anything that might impact their influence as a brand ID?
Yeah. So brand, I always say, is just a fancy word for reputation. Sure. And, you know, whereas before social media became huge, our reputation spread by word of mouth. Now we have social media. So yes, it's spread by word of mouth, but it can be spread globally in a second. And so it's you need to protect your reputation, right? And if we view it that way, you know, I always reference a study that was done. And it was with like 11 different companies, and they had 48,000 plus hours work hours that they monitored, right? And they came out with the, if you're sitting within 25 feet of a top performer, your performance, so your skill set stays the same, all of everything the same, your performance increases by 15%. Wow. So 25, sit within 25 feet, top performer, your performance, your productivity, all that increases 15%. On the flip side, then, if you sit within 25 feet of a poor performer, everything decreases for you 30%. And so if we take that to sports, and I always use Michael Jordan because in my world, he's the GOAT, right? And you're not going to be able to replace that. But how many household names did playing with Michael Jordan create? And if you look at their output, you know, a Scottie Pippen averaged more points with Michael Jordan than without. Horace Grant, Steve Kerr, Kukoc, all those guys had more points when they played with Michael Jordan than when they played without Michael Jordan. And so when you break that down then to a brand level, it's who do you associate with? And if you are one of these athletes that aspires to create something in NIL, you have to be aware that your NIL opportunity is going to be 4 or 5 years at most, but your monetization of who you are and your brand is lifelong. And so who are you going to partner up with? Who are you going to be seen in public with? Who are you going to do things with, associate with? Do you want to go with that group that maybe they're a little bit out of your reach and you aspire to be those people or aspire to be around those people? Or are you going to hang out with the people that may be hanging on to you and dragging you backwards? Because ultimately, it's going to affect where you end up in life. And so just being aware of that and getting around that right crowd can really, you know, it can make or break your athletic career, your career afterwards, a whole lot of stuff.
Well, your earnings ability in the future as well. I'm about to kick it back to Aaron, but one of the last points or things I'll share is a lot of the work that we do with our clients is based on creating a self-awareness of how you influence situations, people, everything else. And just becoming very, very aware of how you can have a positive influence, but also what the flip side is if you're not careful. And I would imagine that those are the kinds of conversations. Well, we've had some with athletes at a couple of different levels now, just about that awareness, just about the fact that you, like it or not, you're influencing someone every time you step on the field, every time they see you out in public, and all of that impacts your future earnings ability. I mean, really, like it or not, it's kind of like, you know, you could like the electric trains or not, but they were coming, right? So if you were the old coal driven train, it's like, it's going to happen. It's just, we talk with people sometimes, you know, the way cars used to be made, well, cars are still made, but those jobs and the way they're used, they don't exist anymore because things just change. So anyhow, but yeah, I'm going to kick it back to Aaron, but your answers are great. It's provided so much depth and light on a couple of different situations. So thanks for taking time.
Yeah, appreciate that.
So Ryan, you've talked about a lot of different audiences you've worked with, that you do work with, a lot of different scenarios. Can you kind of summarize who you work with, how you work with them? So for people listening, and if they're thinking, hey, do I fit into Ryan's ideal audience? Who is your audience?
At the end of the day, who we impact are athletes, right? And so we work with high school athletes, we work with college athletes at all levels, and we work with pro athletes. Now, who ends up bringing us on and paying us and using the platform could be the team that they play for. It could be them individually, or it could be a university or something like that, that wants to provide this athlete development for their athletes. And so it's really everything from brand development to aspects of leadership development to how to communicate on social media, how to create opportunities for life after sports, the personal finance aspect of it, and then even how to go out and get NIL deals. So we have a 4-step process to teach anyone how to go out and you know, get your first NIL deal and then build it to bigger and better deals from there.
That's fantastic. So where can people connect with you, find you, your podcast as well?
Yeah, podcast is NIL Undressed. And we're in, I think we're a month in on that. And I'm having a blast. We had Mason Rudolph, again, this from the Steelers on yesterday. And you know, bigger. And it's basically athletes collaborating for athlete development purposes, right? Could be NIL or just life after sports. Instagram is at amust.win, or you can hit us on our website is successbeyondgameday.com.
Awesome. We'll link to all that in the show notes at newgenerationleader.com/44. Great having you on today, Ryan. Really insightful to take headlines and bring it down into the practical understanding of what's really going on below the surface. And I can see in so many ways, I've been making all sorts of notes I'm going to send your way after this of people and places and opportunities. And Brian's got the same going on. So it's that whole pioneering thing, you know, we're ideating, we're problem solving, we're trying to get into this with you. But awesome having you on. My one final question I ask everybody is if, as you look back in your career, your experience, I know your own athletic career, what is it that you've learned that you wish you had known earlier?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so I think we all have, you know, mentally we hold ourselves back because we think, you know, someone's not going to listen to me or who am I or, you know, those sorts of things, right? The people that we look up to from a business leader standpoint, and they face the exact same thing, but they just went for it. And so it would be whatever those ideas are that you had at whatever age you were, just go for it, do it, right? Because you're only going to learn from it. It may not work out, but you're only going to learn from it. It's going to put you in a better position. So get rid of the head trash and just go for it.
It's awesome. I go back to the beginning. Get rid of the head trash and just go for it. And I can choose to participate or I can choose to avoid. So you're dropping the nuggets here for us. And if you're doing this for athletes, I know they are unlocking a great potential on their paths ahead of them. So thanks for coming on today, Ryan. Great conversation. Looking forward to continuing to follow along with your work.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you having me on.
It just reminds me, Aaron, really quickly that what we tell people a lot of times is the tool we use. Who says we can't? So it's kind of the same concept. So anyhow, thanks again, Ryan.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the New Generation Leader podcast. Subscribe today on your podcasting platform. Download the show notes and unlock your true leadership potential at newgenerationleader.fm. Thanks for listening today, and we look forward to seeing you next time on the New Generation Leader podcast.
Thanks again for listening to today's show. Don't forget to check out the New Generation Leader gift guide at newgenerationleader.fm/gift. Thanks to Brian, Jim, Jay, and the team behind the scenes. We'll see you next time on the New Generation Leader podcast.